Good evening. Tonight is Friday night here at Abayagiri, and tonight we have the opportunity to spend the evening in this incredibly beautiful forest here. And this place is a incredibly quiet and peaceful forest, and it's very different than so many places in the world. You know, most of the places where many of us have come from are not like this. So this is an incredibly special opportunity for us to practice meditation here in this very quiet place. And sometimes I like to reflect on the people who live outside of the monastery, who live in more urban areas, and live not in this kind of environment. And those people who live in the world, you know, they seek happiness in many different ways and through different activities and, you know, things like entertainment and all kinds of other activities that they find pleasant and enjoyable. And, you know, if they were to look at us out here in the forest sitting meditation, they might ask, you know, what we're doing out here, and they might not understand, you know, what kind of enjoyment could people living in this way really have. You know, they might wonder, out in the forest where there's nothing exciting, you know, there's not really much to do, you know, living in an empty dwelling place in the forest, worldly people might think, just seems really boring, you know, must just be completely devoid of any kind of happiness. And, you know, for people in the world who don't really have much experience with meditation or with the monasteries, then it's probably quite easy to assume that the worldly life is a lot more enjoyable than a life in the monastery. You know, if we explain to people in the world that, you know, here we, for fun, you know, we meditate and we walk back and forth on our meditation path, and then we sit inside our kuti, and we might do a little bit of chanting or reading, and that's what we do for enjoyment. You know, most people in the world will, they don't have any interest in that. You know, they will just pass. You know, they wouldn't want to try that out for themselves. It seems like it's just a very boring kind of life. And if people do, do think that, then, you know, we might explain to them, well, when we meditate, you know, we feel very, very peaceful, and we can enjoy those peaceful states. But, you know, sometimes the word peace even sounds, it kind of sounds nice, but it also can kind of sound a little boring, like, well, yeah, no, peace is maybe nice, but it's not really exciting. You know, it's not like the exciting things that I enjoy in the world. So even if we talk about peace and we tell people that we meditate for fun, for enjoyment, then worldly people will probably assume that the happiness in the world is a lot better than the happiness in a monastery. And this is an assumption that, you know, seems quite logical, and most people would agree with that. But I think it's very useful to question whether that's actually true, and, you know, especially for people who first come to the monastery, you know, maybe we don't really have much peace and meditation, and maybe it's easy to get quite frustrated and think, yeah, actually, you know, even if I get a little bit of peace, it's not going to be as good as the world, you know, it's not going to be as good as the pleasure that I've experienced in the world, so it can be very easy to give up the practice. But, I mean, looking at this question, Which is more pleasant, you know, the pleasure that we find in the world or the pleasure that we can find in meditation. There's two great stories that I thought of that I would like to tell that I think really shed light on this question and might be quite surprising for worldly people if they were to contemplate this. You know, the first story is the great Master Xu Yun, who was a very famous Chinese Chan master who lived in the last century and lived to be about 120 years old. And his life story is just filled with incredible events. And he was, you know, a real meditation master. And there's one particular story from his life that is quite wonderful. He after he had been a monk for many years, and he was a teacher, you know, respected teacher in China, and then he traveled to Thailand to give some teachings there, and as he was involved in these multi-day teachings, then at one point he just kind of stopped teaching and started to meditate. And he was kind of sitting there for a long time and not moving. And he just kept sitting there. And in the end, he sat there for almost 10 days without moving. And when he finally came out of his, you know, his meditation, then it caused quite a stir, you know, in Thailand, a Buddhist country. People have a lot of faith in good monks and good practitioners, and it was just so kind of remarkable that the word spread to the king of Thailand, and he invited Master Xu Yun to go and teach at the palace and requested to become his student. And this is really quite a wonderful story about, you know, the power of meditation, because, you know, we can ask ourselves, you know, what is it that he found in his meditation that allowed him to sit without moving for 10 days, almost 10 days. You know, what was the happiness, the peace, the happiness, the joy? What must it have been like for him to be completely content and not even have to get up and drink water, you know, not to have to eat? You know, have people in the world, you know, have they ever experienced any kind of happiness in the world, any kind of pleasure that's so pleasant that we can just enjoy it and we lose all thought about water and food for 10 days? You know, there's definitely nothing like that in the world. You know, it's so beyond what worldly people have ever experienced that most people probably would believe that it wasn't true. You know, they would probably think there's no way that could happen, but, you know, it's a well-recorded event. And I think this is a very inspiring, really wonderful story about, you know, the happiness of meditation, that it must be so pleasant when we reach that level. You know, the potential for happiness in meditation is so great that one can completely lose interest in the world, and that's not something that can happen through sensuality. You know, we might be able to lose interest in the world for a minute or 2 minutes or an hour or something, but days, you know, up to 10 days, you know, that's just not possible. You know, so considering that, you know, it's very clear that, well, the happiness that he experienced in meditation, it's greater than the happiness of the world. And there's another a great story that I thought of from the life story of Ajahn Dan, who's a great great teacher in our tradition, from Thailand, and his autobiography is also just an incredible book, you know, filled with so many incredible stories about his meditation and his different experiences. And there's just one story that I remember. You know, one day he was just having the meal with the other monks, and they're just sitting there and just doing a very mundane activity that they do every day. Most people would just kind of find it pretty plain activity. And as he ate, then he was meditating, he was contemplating the body. And, you know, during his contemplation, his meditation, as he ate, then he had such a profound meditative experience and was filled with such extreme bliss and joy that the tears just started to fall from his eyes, and he didn't want to make a scene, and he didn't want anybody else to notice, so he just quickly got up and left without finishing his meal, and he went to a nearby cabin and just went and sat down in this cabin and then just started sobbing, you know, for quite a while. And the, you know, the tears that he was crying, they weren't tears of sadness. You know, they were tears of incredible joy and tears of happiness. And this is also a very beautiful story. We can contemplate, you know, the pleasure in the world. You know, is there any activity that's so enjoyable, that we have so much fun with in the world, that it makes us cry, or that it makes us sob for many minutes or for a long time? You know, there's just really nothing like that in the world. The incredibly profound nature of that happiness that arises in meditation, that can arise in meditation, it's so far deeper and more profound than the happiness that we can ever experience in the world. So profound that it can just bring us to tears. And I think these are, yeah, a few really wonderful stories to contemplate. You know, if we think about the happiness that people enjoy in the world, the Buddha gave a great simile, said that the happiness of the world is like a delicious drink that has poison in it. And there's pleasure there when we drink that drink, but there's far more pain that arises from that experience. So contemplating the reality of the happiness that we can experience in the world. You know, it's not to say that there isn't any happiness in the world or there isn't pleasure in the world. There's certainly a lot of pleasure. There's a lot of happiness that we can find. But you know, it always there are always strings attached to the happiness that we can enjoy in the world, and it always brings suffering. You know, when we lose it, or when we can't quite get it as much as we want, or when we become bored with the objects of our desire. So contemplating the pleasure of the world, you know, we can consider things like, you know, various entertainments and things like social media and, you know, the things that we like to enjoy, and we might think that, well, they're really, you know, they're really pleasant and they're really worth it. You know, they bring me a lot of happiness. But, you know, if we've ever spent a long period of time doing these things, you know, if we try to just, you know, watch entertainment or use social media all day, you know, for 8 hours or 10 hours without stopping, you know, then how do we feel at the end of that? You know, do we feel happy and content and at ease and bright and filled with joy, or do we feel miserable? You know, do we feel like we've been poisoned? Because this is, I think, is a really great opportunity for us to see the, you know, the meaning of the Buddha simile, this kind of delicious poison. You know, there's an immediate pleasure, but the more that we experience that, we enjoy it over time, it poisons the mind. You know, so sensuality, sensual pleasure is like poison for the mind. And the happiness that we can experience in meditation is one simile that the Buddha gave for the happiness that one could find through following his path is like a man who's walking through the desert and is incredibly hot and thirsty and unhappy. And after a long period of time, he were to find a large, clear lake, you know, filled with cool, clean water, and he were to jump into it and drink the water and refresh his body with the water. And then coming out of the water, you know, he would sit on the bank of the lake, you know, completely content. And this is really, you know, quite a wonderful simile for the happiness of meditation. You know, it's something that it isn't just a little bit of pleasure and then more and more pain as we enjoy it more. It's something that deeply and completely, you know, thoroughly nourishes our mind. You know, all of the suffering, unhappiness, discontent, from wherever it comes from, you know, whatever kind of insecurity and depression and unhappiness, desire, you know, any kind of unhappiness whatsoever or stress, you know, for one who finds the happiness of meditation, it's like all of that is washed away. You know, in the same way that the man who jumps into the lake, all of his thirst and his overheating, you know, his discomfort, his physical discomfort, all of that is completely washed away, and he is completely at ease, completely happy, completely content. And I think that that's a really wonderful simile as well for the happiness of meditation. And, you know, people hearing these similes, you know, might think it sounds like a very good thing. And, you know, of course, the Buddha assures us that the happiness of meditation, the happiness of his path, is far greater than anything we could ever experience in the world. But the unfortunate reality, kind of the catch to it all, is that it's definitely not easy to find. And that's maybe one of the, you know, the main differences between the happiness of the world and the happiness of meditation, is that, you know, the happiness of the world is very easy to find, but it doesn't really satisfy us. It doesn't really give us what we're looking for, really. It just gives us more and more unhappiness and stress over time. But the happiness of meditation is something that completely and thoroughly satisfies us and brings us profound happiness. But it can also be said to be the most difficult thing to find in the world. So then coming to a place like this to really put in the work and put in the time and trying to find that incredible happiness, the simile that so many of the teachers always give is like digging for water. You know, so if you're very thirsty and you need water, and you know, wherever you are, if you just dig far enough, you know, eventually you'll find water. But you know, just starting at ground level, you know, water is definitely not easy to find under the ground. You have to dig maybe very, very far into the ground before you find it. And even though you're looking for water, you have to go through a whole lot of non-water to find it. You know, you're looking for something that you can drink and bathe with, but you have to go through a whole lot of dry dirt in order to get there. And that's the unfortunate reality of our practice, trying to find happiness in meditation. Then it's something which is buried underneath all of our old unwholesome habits from the past, from so many years. And for most of us, it's not going to be something which is easy to find. And we're going to have to be willing to put forth probably many, many years, maybe lifetimes, you know, of very hard work in order to start to find the real happiness which is possible to find within all of our minds. And also one other quality I just wanted to mention is that so often when the teachers speak about the happiness of meditation, they use this word well-being. And I think that this is also a very, very big difference between the happiness of the world and the happiness of meditation, is that the happiness of meditation, it has the potential to bring incredible well-being to the mind. And there's a great simile that I remember reading many years ago, quite a wonderful, a very moving simile of a, you know, small child who becomes lost, separated from its mother, and is wandering around searching for its mother and feeling incredibly lost and abandoned and unhappy. And after wandering around for a very long time, then there comes the moment when suddenly the child sees its mother in the distance. And seeing its mother, then there's incredible joy and happiness that arises, and the child would run and jump into its mother's arms. And as it jumped into its mother's arms, then there would be an incredible feeling of well-being, and having been lost for so long, and then the child finally has returned home, and there would be an incredibly profound feeling of ease and joy and happiness and warmth. And this is a great simile also for the happiness of meditation. You know, it's not just something which is kind of pleasant or kind of peaceful or kind of enjoyable. It's something which has the potential to bring an incredibly profound feeling of well-being to the mind, because we're all like the child, you know, whether we realize it or not, whether people in the world realize it or not, you know, we're all like a child who is lost and having spent our whole life in very dark states of mind, very stressful states of unhappiness. You know, perhaps we've completely forgotten that we even had a home. You know, perhaps we've forgotten that there was anything other than this. So the practice of meditation, it has the potential to bring us face to face with real happiness. It has the potential to bring us home. So these are just a few reflections for this evening, and offer that tonight.